I want to encourage you to have your Bibles out, open to Galatians chapter 5, as we begin our study of the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness, this particular characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. Appreciate the manner in which we've engaged in our worship. Tyler, I appreciate you leading that song and the well-worded prayer. Ryan, we appreciate that so very much. We'll have some more to say about prayer in our 11 o'clock hour in that study. Let us look at our text as we have been. We start by reading our text, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The seventh quality or characteristic in what Paul gives us as the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Faithfulness is translated from the Greek word pistis. Unlike the Greek terms that we've looked at in some of the previous characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit that are only used a handful of times, this word is found numerous times throughout the New Testament. It is the word that is normally defined or translated as faith. And that is a verb, the act of believing or having conviction. It would also be the term that would be translated as faithfulness with the idea of remaining faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. But in this context, it means being reliable or dependable. The term means faithfulness, reliability. Thayer says of the term in this context, it is fidelity or faithfulness, the character of one who can be relied on. That word fidelity really captures the idea. Unfortunately, it's not a word that we use a lot in our vernacular today. So, for a refresher, the word fidelity means a faithful devotion to duty or to one's obligations. And that really encompasses this characteristic, this quality of faithfulness that we're looking at in our study. As we have with the other qualities, if we're learning from deity how to exhibit this characteristic in our life, then we can expect to find this characteristic in deity himself, and that's true of faithfulness. We know that God the Father is faithful. I want to look at these three verses, but these are just the tip of the iceberg. As we're reading through the Bible, we find that God is faithful. But turn with me to Psalm 36. Psalm 36, look at verses 5 and 6. With the Psalms being poetry, they're employing poetic language to try to make their points. And the psalmist here is making a point about the greatness of God. How can you measure the greatness of God? Look at verses 5 and 6. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness, there's our quality we're looking at today, your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. What would we use to measure the greatness of God? Well, put your ruler away. Put your tape measure away. That's not going to do it. How do we measure God's faithfulness? All the way to the clouds. That's how you would measure God's faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, a passage that is well known by many of us, cherished by many of us, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. This verse gives us hope, it gives us comfort. We know that whatever it is that we face, that we can make it, we can handle it. What is the nail that this great promise is hung upon? It is that phrase at the beginning of or near the beginning of the verse, God is faithful. That is the nail upon which this promise is hung. And we can count on it, God's faithfulness. We can count on Him. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, after the Hebrew writer has given all of the arguments and gone into all the detail about what we have in Christ and how through Christ we can now boldly come before the throne of God, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, therefore having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, look down at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That is God. God is the one who has given us promises, and he is faithful to hold true to his promises. And so the Hebrew writer is telling us we have to be faithful to hold fast to our end. God gives us the promises. He lays these promises out. He is faithful in fulfilling them. Well, let us be faithful in clinging to them. Let us hold fast to them. Why? Because the promises are made by a faithful God. Aren't you glad that our God is faithful? Aren't you glad that He is reliable, that He is dependable? God's Son is faithful as well. I want to turn back to Hebrews chapter 3 and show you how he was faithful to the Father, or how the Father was able to rely upon him or to find him faithful. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. Notice about that. Get that point for just a moment. God the Father looked down upon the Son as he was here upon the earth, and he could count on the Son doing what he told him to do. In everything that Jesus did on this earth, he was faithful to the Father, and the Father found him faithful. He found him reliable, and so we can find him faithful as well. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. We can count on God the Father. He is faithful. We can count on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful. And of course, the words of deity would be faithful as well. I want to go back to a couple of passages in Isaiah. These are verses we don't look at very often. We often look at New Testament passages and talking about God's Word. But there are a couple of passages in Isaiah I want us to look at and consider. Isaiah chapter 40, and at verse 8. Really, we could start at verse 6. We could start and read verses 6 through 8. Isaiah chapter 40. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The grass comes and goes, and grass here is likened to people. People come and go, but God's Word stands forever. This passage, if it sounds familiar to you, it is quoted by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. There's another passage in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Chapter 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word does what God intends for it to do. God's word is not going to let us down. It is faithful. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. That means you can count on them. You can count on the promises of those words. So, if we're walking in the Spirit, and that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes from, if we're walking in the Spirit, we are learning how to live from deity. How fitting it is. It only makes sense that we would learn to be trustworthy, that we would learn to be faithful because God is faithful. And so, Christians are expected to be faithful. I want to look at a couple of passages. The first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is an interesting passage in which the Apostle Paul is really, he is bringing gospel preachers down a notch or two. Because the Corinthians were enamored with their preachers. Some called themselves after Paul, after Apollos, after Cephas. They were putting the preachers on a pedestal. Well, Paul is bringing them down off that pedestal in 1 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. Look at chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We understand a servant, but there's that word steward, and we don't use steward very often. A steward may have been a slave, may have been a free man, often was a slave, but a steward was a manager of someone else's property or someone else's goods. Think about Joseph in Potiphar's house. Remember when Joseph was encountered by Potiphar's wife? My master does not know anything that is with me in the house except the food that is set before him. There's a good illustration of a steward. A steward would be given a responsibility, and he had control over that, but he was also held accountable for what he did. As an apostle, Paul says, I'm a steward. I'm a steward of the manifold mysteries of God. It has been entrusted to me, but I'm accountable. I'm accountable. And so, the number one quality that you would look for in a steward is fidelity or faithfulness. Reliability. That's what Paul says in verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Now, you and I are not apostles like Paul and the other apostles, but we have been entrusted with things from God. As Christians, we are stewards of those blessings, of those graces. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, here's another passage that I believe will help us to appreciate the importance of faithfulness, that is, dependability, reliability, that God can count on us to do what He tells us to do. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, we have the parable of the talents. Remember, there is the master. And he's going away on a journey, but first he divides his livelihood up among his servants. To one servant he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to their own ability. He goes on a journey, the 2 get busy with theirs, the 1 hides his, buries his. Now, when the day of accounting comes, remember what the master said to the 2 who were faithful? Verses 20 through 23. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The same thing is said in verse 23 to the 2-talent man. Notice, they were praised. And they were rewarded by their master, not because they were profitable, but because they were faithful. Because they were faithful. You and I, if we can get our heads wrapped around this truth, it might give us some comfort. It might relieve some of the pressure, some of the stress that we feel, thinking, you know, I've got to be a profitable servant. Where's the fruit that I'm supposed to be bearing unto the Lord? And what the Lord is looking for us is fidelity, faithfulness. Whether we're profitable or not, what we want to hear is the same thing that was said to these. Well done, good and faithful servant. God expects us to be faithful. There are great people in the New Testament that are held up to us as examples, men of faithfulness. Those who were Paul's trusted companions, he refers to them as faithful. Timothy, we know very well, but Tychicus, Epaphras, Onesimus, Paul said that all of them were faithful. Paul himself said that he was faithful in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. Peter's companion and helper, Silvanus, is described as being faithful. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, Jesus refers to Antipas as my faithful martyr. You and I should strive to join these faithful servants of God and be identified with them. So if you and I are Christians, we are expected by God to join the ranks of these individuals, to follow our faithful Lord, and to be faithful as well. Well, for the few moments that we have left, let's consider who is it that we are to be faithful to? To whom are we to be reliable? Who is it that we are to show fidelity or trustworthiness to? Well, number one, to God. You see, if we can count on God being faithful to us, if we can find God to be dependable, isn't it only fitting that we be dependable to God, that we return that back to Him? And indeed, that's true. You and I are expected to be loyal to God, to be dependable unto God. How can we do that? How can we achieve that goal? Well, I'd suggest it starts by making sure we're fulfilling the greatest commandment. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is asked, what's the great commandment in the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. If we give God our everything, then it's not going to be nearly as difficult for us to be dependable and reliable, faithful unto God. So we are to love God with the whole heart, but I would add this as well. We are, if we're going to be dependable, if we're going to put God first, we have to love God above all others as well. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 23, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. I don't know where 23 came from. Matthew chapter 10 and at verse 37, Jesus says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Putting the Lord first in our hearts, but putting the Lord first above everyone else. That's going to help us to be dependable and reliable to God. God has entrusted something to us. Let me speak to parents for just a moment. Go back to that picture, that idea of a steward. A steward is one who has been given someone else's property to manage. If you have children, you have been given God's property. That child of yours, your children, they belong to God. And they've been entrusted to your care for a little while. You're going to be held accountable for that. Now, when the time comes that your children are going to want to do things that children, that Christians shouldn't be allowed to do, and you're going to begin to feel the pressure from them because they're feeling pressure from the world, and you're going to be tempted to give in and let them go and do things and be a part of things that they shouldn't be, you need to remember that you answer to a higher authority. And perhaps help your children to understand that you have to answer to God. You have to be faithful to God. And you're going to be faithful to Him. And that's why they're not allowed to do these things. That's why they're not allowed to go and to do things that the world is enjoying doing. We are to be faithful unto God, and that's going to require us to love God above all others. Also, if we will fear Him and keep His commandments, Ecclesiastes 12 and at verse 13, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter, Solomon says. What does it all boil down to? Fear God, keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Fearing God may begin as terror, and that's okay if it begins as terror, but as we draw closer unto God, that terror turns into reverence. Either way, it should produce obedience unto God. So let's be faithful by being obedient. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We are to be faithful unto God. We are to be faithful to our brethren as well. Remember, we're talking about developing the characteristic of being reliable, being dependable, fidelity. Well, we ought to be able to rely upon one another, and depend upon one another for some things. Love, for example. Romans chapter 13 and at verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another. We are to love one another. We owe each other edification. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we are to exhort one another. We are to provoke one another for love and for good works. We owe that to each other. We ought to be able to depend on one another for that. How about prayer? Prayer in James chapter 5 and at verse 16. James 5 and at verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. I ought to be able to depend upon you for your prayers. And you ought to be able to depend upon me for my prayers for you. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. After we are to walk in the Spirit, that's in Galatians 5, we're to walk in the Spirit, we are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We owe each other. We ought to be able to depend upon each other for correction and for help. So, I am to be faithful to you. I am to be dependable. You are to find me to be dependable and trustworthy regarding these things, and many more we know could be added to this list. There's one more group of people I want us to think of that you and I are to be faithful toward. That is, one more group of people that ought to be able to depend on us and rely on us, and that is the world. The world should be able to rely upon us to let our light shine constantly. The world is watching us. Now, some people who are watching us are sympathetic. They are looking for the truth, and they appreciate the light that is shining. Many people in the world are indifferent. They really don't care. And there are some people who are going to be antagonistic. They don't appreciate the light, and they don't appreciate you and I letting our light shine. But regardless, they're all watching. They're all watching. And what they need to see from us is a consistent pattern of faithfulness. Paul writes that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We want that light to always be shining. We want to always live up to our profession as a child of God. We need to be dependable and reliable. That's what this quality is, and that's who it is that we are to show it unto. There are things in our world that we, quite honestly, can't rely on, that we can't depend on. I've got to tell you that if I had the track record of preaching God's Word, if I had the same track record as the weatherman did this past winter, I'd be out of a job. That wasn't really dependable, wasn't really reliable. We can't depend on everything in this world, but you can rely on God because He is faithful. You can rely on your Savior, Jesus Christ, because He is faithful. You can rely upon every word in the Bible because it is faithful. And you can rely on Christians who are walking in the Spirit because they are working hard to develop the quality of faithfulness, of reliability. Remember, what we've been looking about here is not the quality of whether we can rely on God, but it's whether or not God and others can rely on us. How are we doing with that? Maybe this week, this gives you something to focus on. Gives me something to give attention to. Am I dependable? Am I reliable? Am I a person of my word? That's all wrapped up in this idea of faithfulness. Let's work on that. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word that is as reliable and dependable and trustworthy as you are. We pray that you would help us to yield ourselves before it and to allow your word to fashion us and to mold us in your image. Help us to be people of our word. Help us to be servants that you can count on, that our brethren can count on, and that the world can count on to be consistent in living up to our profession. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're dismissed to our Bible classes.